Take your Bibles, please turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Last time when we were in this passage, we saw a couple of the great differences that there is between Christianity and between really the unsaved and what they have. And that difference that can be seen between the two ought to encourage us, ought to motivate us to live for God. We shouldn't get discouraged. There may be trials, there may be temptations along the way that would distract one from being faithful, that would distract one from maybe allow one to lose their motivation to really live for God. But as we see these great differences between what we have and between what is out there in the world, it should motivate us to live for God. And the first is we saw there's a different value system. And at the heart of Christianity, there is a different value system. There is a Savior who we ought to see as precious. And to men, it says in verse number 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. And as believers, if you're a believer tonight, there ought to be a great value, a great honor that is placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be able to say, as the psalmist said in Psalm 45, my heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made concerning the King. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. His heart was inditing. It was boiling over. It was bubbling over. It was as if he had so much to say. And is that our mouth as it concerns the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there so much good that we see in Him that we can't help but speak something about Him because we understand how precious and valuable He is? You know, unfortunately, we get caught up with the value system of this world, and many times our mouth is quiet. You know, we can walk out into the world and it's very easy to feel the pressures of those around us. It's very easy to sense the disregard that others have for Christ. And so we stay quiet about the great value that we ought to be able to see in our Savior. There's a completely different value system. But there's also a different belief system. And the belief system that we have is one in which there will never be shame that is a result of putting your faith and trust in the Word of God, in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the end of verse 6, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. In Romans, it uses the word ashamed. What a great hope that we have. That when what we have to put our trust, to put our complete dependence upon, who we have, is one that will never let us down. You know, we go out in the world, we feel that pressure, and our mouths maybe begin to close. And we don't speak that word. We don't stand up for Christ like we ought. When we have someone who we never have to be ashamed about. There's a different belief system. We have a belief system that is firm, that has a sure hope. Thirdly, we find that we have a different authority structure. It says in verse number 7, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. So the one in which they saw no value in, he is the one who becomes the head of the corner. All right, he is the one that we build our lives upon. He is the one that the church is built upon. But notice for the others who he becomes. He says, the word of God says, in a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. In Barnes, in his commentary, he says, if this foundation stone is not the means of their salvation, it will be of their ruin. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ will either be, you will either choose for him to be your authority, or he in his authority will judge you one day. Now we have a different authority structure. You know, in Philippians chapter 2, it says that in one day, every knee shall bow to him. You know, you can either choose to place yourself under the authority of Christ, or one day you will be under his authority in judgment. You know, it would be so foolish for one not to accept the Lord Jesus Christ into their life. And someday, the one that they disallowed, the one that they set aside, will be the very one that will judge them, or the one that we will be judged according to his word. So we find here there is a different authority structure. It says here, being disobedient in verse number 8. In verse number 7, but unto them which be disobedient. Each person needs to put themselves under the demands of the gospel. You know, those that do not believe, they are labeled as those that are disobedient. You know, what an amazing person that we have to be our authority. You know, do we live like it? Do we live like he is the one that we have obeyed in making him our Savior? Number four. Fourthly, we find that there is a, we found first of all there was a different value system. But in Christ, we find we have a different inherent value. All right, we have value because of who we are in Christ. It says in verse number 9, it says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people. All right, we have value because of who we are in Christ. It says, ye are a chosen generation. We have been chosen. When we were saved, it wasn't just because it just so happened to be that way. You know, maybe there was a child born into a family, and the parents really didn't want that child. Well, in salvation, God wanted us. He chose us. And we tonight need to understand the great grace of God in wanting us to be a part of his family. We are a chosen generation. What a valuable asset that is. You know, it talks about the adoption of sons. God chose to place us in his family. We find here there is a royal priesthood. You know, not just any old priesthood. It says it's a royal. It's a priesthood that's raised up to a high level. A royal priesthood. We have access to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we aren't inferior. You know, in Catholicism, you have, you know, the priesthood, and maybe you have just the people. You know, and throughout the Middle Ages, the priesthood's up here, the people are down here. You know, but as believers, we are a royal priesthood. We have access to God. It says we are a holy nation. We have been set apart. It says a peculiar people. We're not just any old people, but we are a particular people that God has called out. And we ought never to look at the outside world and think, and begin to think, boy, look at what they have, and begin to be tempted by those things. When we have such a great inheritance. And what is the result of that? It says that ye should show forth. The idea of show forth is the idea of proclaiming or reporting the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know, as we recognize the great value that we have in Christ, it's not anything to boast of ourselves, but it's something to proclaim about Christ. He is the one that has made us who we are. And we ought to respond with showing forth his praises. Showing forth is to proclaim them, to report them. You know, in school, when you were younger, maybe you had show and tell. You know, there was maybe some object at home that you wanted everyone to see. And so you brought it for show and tell. All right, if you had something at home that you didn't want people to see, you probably wouldn't bring it for show and tell. All right, and so here we have someone, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to show him forth. We need to proclaim his greatness. When we understand who we are, what he has made us, what he has done for us, the natural result should be to proclaim it to others. We have a different inherent value because of what Christ has done. He says, who hath called you? He has summoned us out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know, we were in darkness, but he what? He called us. He summoned us out of darkness. You know, it says in Romans chapter 3 that, you know, there is none righteous, no, not one. No man what? No man seeketh after God. It was God who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And then fifthly, we find that there is a different home. We have really a different country. It says in verse number 11, well, verse 10, which in time past were not a people, but are now the what? The people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. All right, so he says, I beseech you as strangers, as a foreigner, and as pilgrims. You know, sometimes people take a pilgrimage to a certain place. It's what? There's a temporary place that they're going to. It's not a permanent dwelling place. You know, if you go into a foreign land, you are a stranger. You are a foreigner. You know, if you go into another country and you're a foreigner and you're there temporarily, there are certain things that maybe you aren't going to get involved in because you're a foreigner there. And we need to understand that in the present world in which we live, we're strangers. We're a foreigner. You know, you can what? You can pick out foreigners many times, can you? Many times by their clothes. Now, sometimes maybe you can't. But then when they speak, you can what? Usually pick it out. Maybe by their clothing. You know, by their speech. Maybe by their mannerisms. Different things that you can tell who they are. And as a believer, we have a different home. We have a different country, so to speak, that we are from. Do we see the value of that place that is our home? And are we living for it? You know, when you travel across the world, many, you know, when if you're from America, maybe in some ways maybe it's changed, but it's what? It's many times it's something that you can be proud of, isn't it? The country that you're from. All right, well, we have something far greater to be proud of. In that, if we can use that in a good sense. All right, and that is the home of heaven that we have. Are we acting as strangers and pilgrims? He says, abstain from fleshly lust, those temporal desires, living for the old nature, which what? Which war against the soul. Our very inner being, these fleshly lusts, are fighting against. You know, young person, that temptation to listen to that music, that temptation to look at whatever you're tempted to look at, it's what? It's warring against your inner being. And if you're saved, you have a different home. Do you recognize the value of that home that you're from? In Philippians chapter 3, it says, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. You know, have you fallen for those people? And then he says in verse 20, for our conversation, and here it's the idea of citizenship, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Do we live like we have a different country that we are a citizen of? Or have we become too comfortable in the world in which we live? Have our lives been more characterized by the things of this world that are temporal, or by the things of another world that are eternal? Do you look like a stranger? Do you look like somebody that's just passing through? Or as you walk about in this world, do you look too much like you belong down here? We have a different home. And if we can see the value, the preciousness of that home because of the preciousness of our Savior, it ought to change the way we live. You know, it's easy maybe to get ashamed. It's easy to lose sight of the great value of our Savior. But it ought not something to be, that we ought to be ashamed of, seeing that when we put our dependence upon Him, He is always faithful And we will never be ashamed of what He has done for us. He will never shame us. We will never have to be ashamed as a result of something He has done, because He will never leave us nor forsake us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that You would forgive us, Lord, for the times that we have Lord, been ashamed of You. When, Lord, there is nothing to be ashamed of. Lord, when we have allowed ourselves to succumb to the pressure of this world around us, instead of seeing the great value of the home, of the country that we are really from if we're saved. Lord, I pray tonight for those here that, Lord, do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, that they would see that the one that they are rejecting, Lord, is the very one that they will stumble over. And Lord, how valuable, how precious Christ is. And Lord, I pray that they would see His value and accept Him as their Savior. Lord, may You guide us as we enter, Lord, as we leave this place, that we would leave with a renewed sense, a renewed thankfulness for what Christ has done for us, and that we would show forth, Lord, His praises. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.